One of the big items you talked about today was really a remarkable number for the fund balance for the Thrift Savings Plan.
That's right. We're talking real money now, Chris. Today we had our meeting, as you noted, and we do this once a month. The board members all come in from out of town from their full-time jobs, as they say. And we were able to report to them today that for the first time, the TSP is over a quarter of $1 trillion.
Wow.
So
what does this mean for if I'm a TSP member, what does this mean for me?
Well, it means that the TSP is still growing in dollars and in terms of membership. So any of your costs are spread over a wider area. So that helps, or a wider number of people, and that helps keep your costs down. It also means that we're in a grow mode here at the TSP still. Even though we're 23 years young, we are still growing in leaps and bounds. We improved participation in the uniformed services by 20,000 in the past month. Our participation in the L funds has set records. We have 680,000 participants now with funds invested in the L funds, including 12% of all money invested by FERS people is in the L funds, and 17% of all of the money invested by members of the uniformed services is invested in the L funds.
Wow.
And you know, this is before the option takes effect where people opt out instead of opting in, when people are automatically enrolled. That's before that has even happened.
That's right. That's coming in August, and we're preparing diligently for that right now, Amy. But you're absolutely right. That should push participation up quite a bit more.
One of the other big items that was on the agenda was the website, and we've been asking you, I'm sure you're sick of, frankly, of us asking you about it, but I know people are really interested because, you know, it's how their main connection with their TSP.
That's right.
So I know May is the launch date?
May is still the launch date, but I will say this, Greg Long, our executive director, reported on the new website that we're moving forward but have identified some challenges. We're still targeting the last day of May for a rollout, but we lost a couple of weeks due to procurement issues on contracting for what's called load testing. We need to be sure that when we open up this new website that we can handle the big volume of users that we expect when we start the site. And this is known whenever somebody sets up a big site like this, a lot of people will want to come in and try it right away. So we've just got to run testing to make sure that we can handle X times the normal value.
And load testing volume is basically, and we saw it over Snowmageddon, where OPM just couldn't keep up with the amount of traffic that they had, and you don't want to end up in that place.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. We've got a website that functions perfectly well right now, and we don't want to give that up until we are sure that we have a new one in place. We know about the content. The content is all good. It's simply a question of being sure that we're able to handle this X times normal volume load. So we did lose a couple of weeks' time trying to get a vendor in place for that, so we may slip a couple of weeks into June, depending on how the load testing goes. If it goes fine, we'll be able to stay right on schedule. But if we run into any issues, which is why you do the testing, well, then we're going to take our time and get it in place carefully.
So you're still thinking May, June, depending on how that goes?
That's right. Exactly,
all
right. Amy.
And the load testing, it wasn't an issue of actually load testing. It was finding the contractor who would do the load testing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I guess we might have gone out and hired 10,000 people to jump on and try to do it, but you do this virtually, I am told, and so we needed a contractor to do the virtual test.
But outside of that, the website is essentially ready to go outside of testing to make sure it's ready to go.
That's right. I'm sure people are still playing around a little bit with content and things like that, but yeah, we are ready to go once we get the load testing in place.
And at the end of every quarter, board members review the investment performance. They look for tracking errors and costs, things like that. And that review went well.
That review went very well, yeah. And people may not even realize that they do this because we've been so steady Eddie on our investment policies. But they are looked at very carefully. Every month we take a look at performance, but then every quarter we take a review, and the five board members ask a lot of questions about all the details of the investing. What the variations were, what the tracking error was, what that was due to, and the staff goes through it, answers all their questions, and then they decide whether or not they want to continue with the same investment policy. So they had that review at the meeting this morning, were satisfied, and voted to continue the same investment policy.
What would cause a tracking error like that?
Let's say that the S&P 500 loses a couple of companies and they're replaced by a couple of new companies that S&P decides to bring into the index. Well, the old companies that are there have to be sold off, and that's done a bit at a time, and then they have to pick up the new companies as well. So that will throw your tracking off. What you try to do is have no tracking error. We had, let's see here, I can look at the front page and I can see, I look at our fixed income fund, it was down 11, the base fund, the index was down 0.12, so it was one basis point tracking error. One basis point tracking error on the large cap fund as well. Five basis points on the small cap and four basis points on the international. So those are very small tracking error numbers, but we do bring it down to that level to make sure that we understand what all of these deviations come from.
And the L funds don't have tracking errors because they're more of a mix?
Well, they pick up the same tracking error
as the other ones.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And just to remind people, the L funds, essentially, that you choose a fund about when you're going to retire, and it keeps a balance that about where you should be in terms of stocks and bonds and all those kinds of things.
That's right. It keeps the allocation correct for your for the length of time between now and when you plan on using the money. The notion being that if you have a long time until you're going to be using your money, you have time to come back if there's a loss in the market. So if you have that longer time horizon, 20, 30 years, you can be very heavily in stocks, even though they're the most volatile of our investment choices, and still have time to come back and recover from any losses.